I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. He joins us pretty much almost every Thursday, and we talk about a lot of pressing issues. And Rafi, welcome to the show. A lot has happened since we talked last Thursday. The indictment of the first sitting mayor in the city of New Orleans, Mayor LaToya Cantrell.
Right. And, you know, we've been talking about this, you know, because the tea leaves and the smoke signals have been there for the last couple of years. So regularly, from time to time, as significant developments emerge, you and I have discussed this and shared, you know, my opinions and with the public in this. So I thought we might take this today because it's almost the indictment came out. You know, to maybe take a little bit different approach to this. Yes, everybody knows that the mayor was indicted on 11 counts last Friday, and former officer Vappi was re-indicted on 7 counts. So those cases were consolidated, and it was a superseding indictment. And they're aware, you know, that the mayor is being, charged with wire fraud and conspiracy to commit wire fraud and obstruction of justice and conspiracy and false declarations before a grand jury. And Officer Vappi's indictment references the fact that he committed wire fraud and was untruthful to FBI agents. But this just didn't start when they were indicted last Friday. It didn't start in 2024. This goes back, you know, if you want to look at, you know, the real trajectory, the real path of how this thing got to the point where an indictment was issued against a sitting mayor, you have to go back to 2012. So back in 2012, LaToya Cantrell was elected to the city council to fill the unfinished term of Stacey Head. She was reelected to a full term in 2014 as the city council person from District B. In 2017, the mayor elected to qualify to run for her first term as mayor. And 5 days before she qualified, she submitted a restitution check to the city of New Orleans for over $4,400, covering 49 credit card purchases spanning 3 years. So beginning in 2013, shortly after she was elected to the city council, she began using her city council credit card for personal purchases. And on the eve of the her qualifying, or shortly after she qualified, she was aware that some of her opponents had discovered that information, and she made the restitution. So the best way to predict the future is to look at the past. Yeah. And we saw some early warning signs in 2013. So this didn't emerge in 2020 or 2021 or just in the second term. This goes back to the earliest days of when she first became a public servant. And what this case is about, this is about a public servant that forgot why they were elected by the public. She was, you know, elected to that office because of all the work she did as a private citizen. to help the, her community come back after Katrina. But shortly after she was elected to office, she began to, I think, lose her way and believe that now that she is a public official, she was no longer a public servant, and believed that she was entitled to the use of public assets for her own personal purposes. So we begin to see that play out. And
I remember it vividly because I started on radio in September of 2017. And I remember that being a big issue in the campaign. A lot of people just didn't, I don't think, associate the seriousness of what she was doing. And, you know, the fact that she made the, you know, she paid the money back, but it was not, the only reason she did is, as you pointed out, she got her hand caught in a cookie jar. And it wasn't until it was revealed to the public and the pressure began to mount that, that she was going to end up writing a check.
Right. So one of the matters that she reimbursed the city for was she took a trip to San Francisco, and there was a dinner there that cost $600. And there were a number of people that were invited to that dinner. LaToya Cantrell, the council person, picked up the tab, used her city credit card. But what we found out afterwards was the people at that dinner reimbursed her in cash for their portion of the meal. So LaToya Cantrell received the money from everybody that paid their own bill that she paid the total bill for with the city credit card. She was reimbursed with cash at the table by the people that attended that meal, but she billed the city for the entire $600 and didn't pay that money back until it was exposed by someone, you know, associated with her opponent's campaign. So, you know, that's the type of a person that she was. People expressed surprise and outrage about what she had become, but she was there. The only difference between 2013 LaToya Cantrell as a council member and 2025 LaToya Cantrell as the mayor is that as the mayor, you have access to more money and more power. And we saw in 2013,
and less oversight. And less,
and she
quite
began
frankly,
to
right?
abuse her authority, and that's why we are in the situation that we're in right now with that.
But, and it wasn't long after she became mayor, too, that she obviously began to exhibit some issues and some other indicators that this was going to be a problem.
Right. So, you know, kind of prepared a little chronology. So she became, you know, mayor in May of 2018. In September of 2018, the Legislative Auditor's Office documented that Cantrell had charged over $93,000 to her city council credit card between 2014 and 2017. So that demonstrates, you know, her appetite for using, you know, city assets for personal purposes. And then in 2019, there was a significant firing that really wasn't recognized as significant at the time. And that was in August of 2019 when the mayor fired one-stop city employee, Jennifer Cecil. No one recognized the significance of that dismissal until October of 2024 when Randy Farrell, who had a contract with the city to do supplemental inspections because the city safety and permits office didn't have enough employees to timely conduct building inspections. So the city allowed for private contractors to do those inspections, and Randy Farrell was one of those people that secured a contract to conduct inspections. And Jennifer Cecil, whose job it was to oversee those inspections, began to question the inspections that were being certified by Randy Farrell. And she began to question and point out some of the matters that he had overlooked in allowing people to complete work that weren't licensed in the city of New Orleans, began to question whether he was actually inspecting the work. And we didn't find out until October of 2024, when Randy Farrell was indicted on wire fraud and bribery charges, that the reason that Jennifer Cecil was fired, because it was alleged by the government when Randy Farrell was indicted in October of 24, that he bribed the mayor to get her to fire Jennifer Cecil, that was costing him money and creating problems for him. And the scope of Randy Farrell's and the motivation for Randy Farrell wanting Jennifer Cecil fired, he was making millions of dollars conducting these inspections. How do we know that? Well, we know that because Randy Farrell was indicted on tax fraud charges. And ultimately, he pled guilty and agreed to make restitution to the United States and pay over $1 million in back taxes. So his business enterprise in the city of New Orleans was extremely lucrative, and anyone that threatened that revenue stream was an impediment to him, to the lifestyle that he had acquired because of his ability to conduct these inspections. The government indicted him for falsifying public records with respect to scores of inspections that he certified. Jennifer Cecil was on to him. He wanted her removed and eliminated, and the government is alleging that he bribed the mayor. Now, he was indicted in October of 24 for indicting the mayor. I'm sorry, for bribing the mayor. I've never seen a citizen, private business person, indicted for bribing a public official and not see the public official indicted. So, you know, that is another case that's still pending out there. Because when Officer Vappy, former Officer Vappy, was indicted in I believe, July of 2024, it was made very clear in his indictment that his wire fraud, falsifying that he was doing and performing his official duties while he was on the clock as a member of the mayor's executive protection team, it was very, very clear that the government had access to his cell phone records and text messages, as well as the mayor's cell phone records and text messages. We didn't find out officially that the mayor was also a co-conspirator with Officer Vappy until last Friday, when she was indicted in the superseding indictment that named them both and laid out in pretty graphic terms the nature and scope of their relationship. So the mayor and Vappy were not indicted because they had a personal relationship, because they, were dating, or because they were intimate with one another. They were indicted because both of them used public assets and falsified records and misstated to a federal grand jury and to federal agents that were investigating the improper use of public funds. So the fact that they were in a relationship is of no interest to anybody other than maybe the tabloids. The government doesn't indict people for having an affair. The government indicted them because they violated federal law by using public assets and conspiring to conceal their misconduct in furtherance of their insatiable appetite for the public paying them to in furtherance of pursuing their personal relationship. So this is about public officials. The mayor as the elected mayor and Officer Bappe as a member of the police department. He's supposed to be protecting and serving the public, and there are protocols as to what he can and cannot do with his protectee, which was the mayor, and he violated that. That's why they were both indicted last Friday. But Bappe,
you know, it's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, it's sorry to interrupt, but you know what's interesting is I think a lot of what you're talking about has been lost in translation, right? For a couple of reasons. One, this alleged amorous relationship that the two had. But two, I think there were so many issues that came up, you know, with hirings that went bad, procurement of this that went south, procurement of that that went south. It seemed like we weren't dotting the I's, crossing the T's, that people, I think, expected this broad range of activities to be incorporated and consolidated into an indictment. It just seemed like, oh, I don't know, this kind of seems a little trivial when I think about all the things that they could have indicted her for. And I think, you know, that's kind of fallen by the wayside, but I'm glad that you make the distinction. This is not about a relationship at all. This is about the misappropriation of public funds for personal use, plain and simple.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the government, prosecutors, whether it's federal or state, you know, they don't have to prove every criminal offense that someone may have perpetrated. But if they charge somebody or arrest somebody for a criminal offense, for them to obtain a conviction, they have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt. So what the government did in last Friday's indictment, they didn't indict for every possible criminal violation. They indicted on 18 counts, and when the grand jury returned those indictments, the government released that because they believe, and they pursued those indictments because they believe that they not only have probable cause to prove that, which is a reasonable suspicion that crimes were committed, they believe they have sufficient evidence to prove the guilt of Jeffrey Bappe and LaToya Cantrell to a jury, which is at the beyond a reasonable doubt standard, which is the standard that juries apply in deciding whether there is a guilty verdict. So the government, when they issued this indictment, they are prepared to go to court and prove every offense and every element of all 18 counts. And the thing that is striking about this indictment versus some of the other indictments of public officials that we've seen, this is an indictment that is based largely on objective information and data and evidence. Well, what do I mean by that? I mean by the fact that the Crime Commission in 2022 received photographs of the mayor and Bappe coming and going from the Pontabla apartment. And we released that information to the public and to the city council calling for a review. Couple of weeks later, Fox 8, pursuant to a public records request, obtained video footage of the mayor and Officer Vappi coming and going from the Pontabla apartment. So Officer Vappi was one of four members of the mayor's executive protection team. He was the only member that was allowed in and out of the city's Pontabla apartment. It's not the mayor's on Pontabla apartment, it's the city's Pontabla apartment. So the government is using the photographs that include the metadata of those photographs to show the relationship between the mayor and Officer Vappi. They're using the video footage from the camera that the French Market Corporation installed in front of the front door to the mayor's entrance to the Pontabla apartment. The mayor, the office of mayor, not LaToya Cantrell, the office of mayor owns 100% of the stock of the French Market Corporation. Those cameras were installed in front of the front door of the mayor's entrance to the Pontabla during her administration for her safety. The video footage has been subpoenaed and reviewed by the Department of Justice, and they're able to document when Officer Vappi entered the condominium and when he left, and overlap that with when he was on the job for the police department and when he was off the clock for the police department. They were able to track the comings and goings of the mayor via the same video footage. And then we also found out last Friday that the government has over 15,000 text messages between the mayor and Officer Vappi. The government didn't have the ability to unilaterally access the phones of the mayor and Officer Vappi. They had to go to a federal judge and get permission, obtain a warrant, and authority to open those cell phones. They had to present to a judge sufficient evidence that would justify the opening of those cell phones. And because they opened those cell phones, they're actually charging the mayor and Officer Vappi with specific instances that are supported by the text messages back and forth and the photographs and some of the other metadata back and forth between the mayor and Officer Vappi. So this is not going to be a case that's built on the witnesses, eyewitness testimony greatly. It's going to be primarily constructed on a foundation of
direct
video,
evidence. Yeah.
Digital evidence that is irrefutable as to where it came from and who the authors of the messages are and what the intent and what the violations of law that the government intends to prove.
All right, we got to get to a break. We're visiting with Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. We're going through a timeline of events relative to activities that the mayor participated in that were a little questionable, to say the least. We'll be right back and continue this conversation when we return. Stay with us.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture.
From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians,
follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Rafael Goyeneche, president of Metropolitan Crime Commission, and we're going and working our way through a timeline of activities that the mayor participated in that are kind of questionable. Rafi, you referenced the 15,000 text messages and photos and stuff. The federal government, in their announcement of this indictment, their press conference, released some of those communications, but you know and I know that the most salacious of those, they're kind of almost prohibited in some respect of releasing a lot of that stuff until they actually get further along in the prosecution of this case. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, so what'll happen? It was announced yesterday that the mayor is scheduled for arraignment. And, of course, Officer Bappe has to be scheduled for rearrangement because additional charges were added for him as well.
September 10th at 2 p.m., the arraignment to be had of the mayor. Yes.
Go ahead. So that'll be the beginning of the next phase of this case. She'll walk in and Officer Bappe will walk in, and 99.9% of the time, usually the defendants enter a not guilty plea. And that will begin the next phase of discovery. So the government will share all of the evidence that they've amassed against the mayor that they intend to use at trial. And the defense will also share discoverable information with the government. And after those hearings are conducted and the court rules what is admissible and what isn't admissible, the case will be scheduled for trial, and it remains to be seen if this case is going to be concluded with a trial or if there'll be a plea arrangement. So that's the next phase. But getting back to this timeline, so Officer Bappe joins the mayor's executive protection team in May of 2021. By September, he begins to accompany the mayor on out-of-town trips. In the indictment that was issued last Friday, the mayor took a trip to Scotland. And Officer Bappe, and the reference to those 15,000 messages that we just discussed, one of the messages is a statement by Officer Bappe writing down in a diary or some type of shared log that he and the mayor had with each other, where they could leave messages and thoughts to each other, references the fact that, this relationship actually began on the trip to Scotland, which was November of 2021.
Right before or right after she got reelected second term.
Right before. Yep, exactly. So let's go to March of 2022. Officer Bappe, part of the records that were released in the indictment of the cell phone of Officer Bappe, does a Google search on the Nashville mayor scandal. So in Nashville, the mayor of the city of Nashville was investigated, indicted, and pled guilty to wire fraud charges pertaining to the fact that she was having a relationship with a Nashville police officer, in which the mayor and the officer were using city funds to pay the officer, and they attempted to conceal the fact that he wasn't actually performing any official duties, that this was a personal relationship. So Officer Bappe is aware of that investigation and prosecution, and as early as March of 2022, he's doing a search on that. So that, to me, the government introduced that to show guilty knowledge. He was aware of what he was doing with the mayor was illegal, not because of the personal relationship, because he was being paid to provide protection, and this wasn't about protection, and he wanted to see how the case in Nashville had emerged and what the consequences were of that. But despite the fact that, that Nashville research showed it didn't end very well for the mayor or the officer that was involved with the mayor, they continued barreling along towards the same path of this relationship and doubled down on using public assets in furtherance of their personal and private relationship. So that was in March of 20.
You know, what's interesting is just 2 weeks later, the mayor appoints Vapi to the Housing Authority of New Orleans. Oh, you think there's a connection? And I hadn't, looked at the Nashville set of facts and circumstances, but I'm curious if there's a connection. I don't believe in coincidences. There's got to be something that they're thinking, and that's why he gets this appointment.
Okay. So a little bit later on in the indictment that came down last Friday, the government disclosed that Officer Vapi, in his capacity as a member of the Housing Authority, went out to a national conference as a Housing Authority Commission member to a meeting in Martha's Vineyard. The government alleges that the mayor also took a trip to Martha's Vineyard for official city business. But the government disclosed that the text messages between the mayor and Officer Vapi at this conference was really a guise saying they needed to get away. And, when Officer Vapi was finished with his conference meetings, he and the mayor were talking about, where they were going to rendezvous and what they were going to do. All of that is evidence that the government has, not from witnesses that were there, but from the text messages back and forth between the mayor and Officer Vapi. So, progressing a little bit further on, the government establishes that they have the romantic Our Book notebook in which...
Rafi, let us get to a break.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Get to a break now while we're at this juncture. We'll be right back. We're visiting with Rafael Goyeneche, President, Metropolitan Crime Commission. Stay with us, folks. Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Rafael Goyeneche, President of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. Rafael, let's continue on the timeline.
Right. So, we were talking about 2022. And one of the more significant events that emerged in 2022, August of 2022, was that federal subpoenas were issued to stores in which the mayor's stylist fashion consultant had made purchases for. We reviewed the mayor's campaign finance account, and between 2017 and 2021, the mayor spent over $230,000 from her campaign fund for her $141 an hour fashion consultant. This consultant would go to the mayor's home and fix her hair, buy clothing for her, not supposed to be able to use campaign funds for personal purchases. So that was significant. In 2022, that's when the public and the media became officially aware that there was some federal investigations going on involving the mayor's use of her funds in that. So during that time, Officer Vapi's on the security team. And during 2022 is when all the disclosures about the comings and goings of Vapi in and out of the Pontabla apartment. And in November, the government pointed out that they were able to verify that Officer Vapi did a search using his phone looking for criminal defense lawyers in this. So, he's aware of the investigation in Nashville in 2021. By the end of 2022, he's looking for his own legal counsel, according to that search. In 2023, after all the disclosures of the mayor and Vapi coming and going from the apartment, Officer Vapi's wife files for divorce against him. In some of the divorce proceedings that occurred, Mrs. Vapi alleges that her husband was involved in an extramarital affair with LC. LC has the same initials as Latoya Cantrell. So that wasn't anybody surmising that. That was the filings and the allegations of Officer Vapi's wife at the time. So we know that after all of the comings and goings from the Pontablo, we filed a complaint with PIB. PIB, because of that complaint, he was removed from the security detail. The investigation was completed. He was censured for violating departmental rules, and the mayor ordered him returned to the executive protection team, where they immediately resumed doing what they were doing before. So they knew that they were under investigation. They knew that all of this had been exposed, yet they didn't stop what they were doing, still using public assets for their own personal purposes. And it culminated with the now famous photograph of Officer Vapi and the mayor dining on the balcony of Tableau Restaurant. So that photograph was taken on April the 7th. And that appeared to be a celebration. That was on a Sunday. And the person that took that photograph, Ann Bro, gave that photograph to the Crime Commission, and we filed another complaint with PIB, and we publicized that. The reason that we publicized it was we were hoping that we would get additional photographs. And that's exactly what happened. Someone contacted us and told us about a photograph that they took of the mayor and Officer Vapi having a glass of wine at the Doris Metropolitan Bar in 2022. And how this person discovered that he had this photograph is really interesting. He forgot that he took that photo. And his phone sent him a notification in 2024. After we published the picture of the mayor dining on the balcony in April of 2024, his photograph said, here's a picture from the past. He opened it up and saw that that was a picture he took of the mayor. He had forgotten he had taken it, and he didn't know who was drinking the glass of wine with the mayor. But because of all of the publicity, he now recognized not only what was the mayor, but that was Officer Vapi. So we filed a complaint with PIB. The government is using that. So this is, you know, this is a long, sordid tale of the mayor being aware of what she was doing, both her and Officer Vapi having guilty knowledge and aware that they were under investigation. They didn't change anything. They doubled down on what they were doing, and now they're being held accountable. Remains to be seen how this is going to play out. But
I want to Let me make an observation that I want to connect the dots because you provided a lot of information. But a lot of what happened in 24 is memorializing activity and conduct that goes all the way back to 2021, 2022, and 2019 with the firing of Jennifer Cecil, which brings me to the final point that I want to make because I think it's really important. Michelle Woodfork refused the mayor's request to, you know, sweep this under the rug, the internal investigation, when she was the interim police chief. And as a result of that, she suffered because the mayor no longer was going to support her to be the next police chief. I don't know if it would have happened anyway. That doesn't matter. What matters to me is that anyone that was going to stand in the way of her doing, meaning the mayor doing what she wanted to do, she set out to destroy those people and eliminate them. And
absolutely.
And that's just compelling information about this woman's conduct and what the extent that she's willing to go to. Final thoughts. Real quick.
I agree. And the same thing, same example, I mean, the same outcome. The woman that took that photograph, Ann Bro, she was retaliated against the mayor as well. And Ambro fought back and actually prevailed in court, and the government references that in their indictment. So the photograph that, you know, I term it the photograph that took down the mayor was a photograph that was done by Ambro. All she did was walk out on her balcony, saw the mayor and Officer Vappy dining, and snapped a photograph. And that was literally the picture that I think in many respects sealed the mayor's fate.
Rafi, I know you put a lot of effort and work into this timeline. I really appreciate it, and I know the audience does as well by what I'm receiving on a text line. Thank you so much for taking the time to do so and sharing it here today with us.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend. We'll be right back, folks. That was Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. We'll see what's headed your way. Stay with us.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.